Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Lord, I just pray that tonight, Lord, that you would do what you desire in each and every one of us. Lord, we just open ourselves to you and ask that you speak to us. Father, I pray that this word will accomplish all that you have sent it to do, Lord. Lord, that this seed of the word would bring forth a harvest in our lives, fruit for eternity. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Well, sometimes I call myself a tightwad. Anybody ever heard me talk that way before? My wife's nodding her head real big. She knows what I'm talking about. Listen, it's really just I want to get my money's worth. I'm not really a tightwad. I'm thrifty, but a lot of times I buy the expensive thing. If I can get it 75% off, yeah. I just want a good deal. It's not really being a tightwad. I remember when I pastored a church in Cleburne a little over 20 years ago for a short time, and I was standing in the church foyer on Wednesday night, and it was getting close to summertime, and one of the elderly members of the church came in the door, and his name was Brother Williams, a very dear brother, helped me in the ministry there. And he said, "Brother Hill, don't you think we could turn these lights off? It's still light outside. We could save that nickel." Well, I'm not quite that tight, y'all. I'm just telling you. But it bothers me when money is wasted. Waste bothers me because I always think about how that could have been used in some way for something better. And, maybe Brother Williams was thinking about how that nickel could have been used to send a missionary to the field. I don't know. But that's what bothers me about waste, is not just that, well, you know, you didn't have to spend it, but you spent it. It's that it could have been used for something different. And I know some people are really, really weird about money. We had a young couple over to our house one time when we pastored in Medill, Oklahoma. It's a little bit different economy there. And this young couple, they were in their early 20s, and Carmen fixed a nice roast and all that kind of stuff, you know. At the end of the lunch, or it was Sunday lunch, she didn't fix pie or anything like that for dessert, but we had a whole bunch of ice cream in the freezer. And so we started listing them off. We were going to have ice cream for dessert. And we said, we got this kind and this kind and this kind. And we had like 7, 8, maybe even 10 different kinds. And this young man was so offended. He got really mad. I thought he was kidding at first. He said, "What are you doing with all that ice cream?" And I thought, he said, "That's expensive." To him, that was a waste. Well, what he didn't realize is that we had a deep freeze, and I bought ice cream when it was 2 for $5. The waste was when he took his wife to Brahms, and the two of them got 2 Sundays for $5. Man, I made a whole bunch of Sundays for $5. But waste is when you use something that could have been used for something better. We're going to talk about waste a little bit tonight, but not just a wasted nickel or a wasted $5, but something much more. I think some people, waste doesn't bother them because they feel like, well, I have plenty. I don't care. I leave the door open. Hold the door open. You know, my folks used to say to me, you know, "Were you raised in a barn?" I was going to say, "Well, I don't know. You raised me. You ought to know." But, you know, if you leave the door open. And Some folks just don't care about that. But I'm just telling you what, the reason that waste ought to matter to us is because it could have been used for something else. Now here's a story, Mark chapter 14. We're going to read verses 3 through 9. Wonderful story, Mark chapter 14, 3 through 9. It says, "And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask, poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, 'Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor.' And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But for me, you do not, or but me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." It's amazing how the Lord says, I mean, he made sure that this got in the gospels. He said, wherever this gospel is preached, what this woman has done is going to be told. Now, the story tells us that this perfume, this expensive oil, was worth 300 denarii. A denarii was a day's wages. So it was 300 days' work. About a year's wages is what she poured out on him. And if you can just imagine, I mean, this is a year's wages of working hard. Can you imagine your year of working hard at your job and saving up everything you made for a whole entire year? Or maybe over a period of 20 years, you saved a year's wages, a lot of money. And she poured it out on him. And they were indignant. They couldn't believe this waste. In fact, I want to read the story also from the Gospel of John. We'll come back to one more verse there in Mark. But in the Gospel of John, John 12, 3 through 8, it says, "Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of the disciples," well, guess who? Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, "who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?'" See, he thought it was a waste because he was thinking about how else it could have been used. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. In other words, he was thinking about how else this money might have been used. But not for the poor. No, he was thinking about Judas. He was thinking about his own selfish wants and how he could have used that money. All the things that he wanted. Now, he thought it was a waste because he didn't get to use it for his own wants. Jesus says, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have always, but me you do not have always." See, what's waste? Well, waste is when you could have spent $20 on something, but you paid $100. Well, that was a waste. You know, if an ounce will do, you don't use a pound. Waste not, want not, right? I mean, the world's got all these little sayings and phrases. Back to Mark, he says, verse 10, he said, "It was Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, who went to the chief priest to betray them." I want you to realize it's right after this event that Judas goes to the chief priest to betray Jesus. He was thinking. What a waste. He was thinking about his own life and what he wanted, and he thought this was a waste. I got a letter from a missionary one time that said how he could make, well, he kept having people tell him. People keep telling me, he said. They tell me and my wife that we could make a lot of money in the States using our degrees if we just weren't on the mission field. They said, it's a waste. You're just wasting your time and wasting your life. You see, that woman brought that oil, and in the eyes of the world, she wasted a year's wages. But Jesus said it wasn't a waste at all. And I just want you to realize that what the world calls a waste in the eyes of God is never a waste. No, what the Bible makes us clear is a waste is when we don't use our lives for God. That's a waste. It's amazing how people in the world get it backwards. An elderly saint passes away. I've seen this happen. And that elderly saint gave money to the church again and again and again. And by the way, it wasn't this church. And the family found out how much money that their grandmother had given to the church. And they were offended by that. They thought it was such a waste. Oh no, they're just like Judas. It wasn't that it was a waste, it was that they wanted it for themselves. Now, some of you probably don't know this yet, but my dad was an attorney. And I remember as a kid, my dad used to tell me, there is no time that people get as ugly and fight with each other as bad as when there's an inheritance and they start scrapping over it. He said, they'll kill each other. It's amazing how people get over money. One man, he gave money to the church over a period of years. And then when things didn't go the way that he thought they should go at the church, he just decided he was going to leave the church. He said, all that money I gave to the church was just wasted. Well, maybe he should have given it to the Lord instead. I think he was looking for control and influence. And when he didn't get his way, then that was all just wasted. But I'm just telling you that in the eyes of the world, when we give our money, when we give our time, when we give our energy, when we give of ourselves, give of our life to the Lord, the world will call it a waste. Even among Christians, a lot of the time there's this attitude that we don't want to waste by giving too much. Let's talk about waste for a second. Here's a familiar sounding story that we all would say, what a waste. Carload of high school kids celebrating after graduation. They have a terrible car wreck and they're killed in the car wreck. Had their future ahead of them, and we say, what a waste. What a terrible waste. Wasted lives happen all kinds of ways. A young husband starts drinking, just a little at first, no big deal, but over time he drinks more and more and more, ruins his life, ruins his family, just destroys everything. He had so much potential before him, but he just wasted his life because of alcohol. What a waste. I'm telling you, there are a lot of ways to waste a life. People think anything that's not done for success and for selfish gain. I'm telling you, in this world, they think if it's not bringing you pleasure, if it's not bringing you some kind of gain, if you're not reaping the rewards from it, then it's a waste. And so you get this verse in the church sometime. They sing this song. I'm just not going to let the church take up too much of my life. I'll go sometimes, but I'm just not going to be fanatical about it. You know, we all love Jesus, but let's not get crazy about it. Let's not take it too far. I want you to know that Mary took it too far. I mean, what she did was extreme. What she did was a waste, but not in the eyes of God. Here's another one that happens in a lot of Christian homes. A young man or young lady decides that they're called into the ministry and they want to go to Bible school. But mom and dad say, you know what? We're going to pay for your college, but we don't want to pay for you to go to some dumpy little Bible college. Well, we've saved up money for you to go to a real university and get a real degree where you can make some real money and you can be successful. You know, that's what we've been saving for and dreaming about, not you going to some Bible college and going to the missionary field where you'll never be anything or do anything. We don't want you to waste your life. John Piper wrote a book called Don't Waste Your Life. He says, I'll tell you what the tragedy is. I'll show you how you waste your life. Consider the story from February 1998, Reader's Digest. A couple took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59, she was 51. They live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells? That's a waste. I think that's a safe story to tell tonight because I don't think we got any shell collectors. You live in the wrong place if you're a shell collector, just telling you. But what shells are you collecting? I'll tell you, how many ways do we spend our life that really and truly is just a waste? When it comes to our lives, I'm telling you, We can't miss the purpose of God in our life and what God wants to do in and through us, what we were created for. If we miss that, then our lives are wasted. You know, I know that nobody wants to waste their life. We all want our life to matter. We all want to live life to the fullest. But it's amazing how often even believers can miss this, that in the process of trying to hang on to their life and make the most of it, they miss the things that are really important. Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for mine and the gospel's sake, then you'll find life. It's amazing how the world and even the lukewarm church just gets it backward so much of the time. I want to say this one more time. How often people think, just like the disciples, that when time was spent serving God, that it was a waste. I can tell you that the enemy will come along behind you sometimes after you've spent time in prayer and say, well, that was a waste of time. Listen, the only time that prayer is a waste of time is when you didn't believe. But if you're praying and you're believing and you're praying according to the will of God, I'm telling you, that's never a waste of time. But you know what? It's amazing how you can serve and you can work for God and be involved in some ministry and at some point get discouraged and disillusioned and step out and you say, well, that was just a waste of time. Sometimes you can even go to church and maybe the songs, the worship wasn't very good and the preaching wasn't very good. And you say, well, that was a waste of time. That was a waste. But I'm telling you that when you give yourself to God, when you're serving the Lord, when you're to the best of your ability trying to fulfill the purpose of God in your life, it's never a waste. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Let me tell you what a waste is. Waste is when we live our lives for ourselves and for our own pleasure. There's an elderly man that accepted the Lord, and people had prayed for this guy for many years, and he just kept refusing to get saved. And finally, in a service, he accepted the Lord. He gave his life to God, decided to serve God. And as they were praying for him as he accepted Christ, he started just sobbing. He was so upset because he realized all of the years of his life that he had wasted. He is saved, going to heaven. But those years were gone. And I'm just challenging you tonight that in your commitment, and your resolve to serve God. See, you can't ever go back and change the past. All you can do with the past is put it under the blood of Jesus. But you can't go back and change the past. But I want to challenge you tonight to live a life without regret. And the only way that you can really live a life without regret is when you totally give yourself to the Lord. When you just turn it all over to Him. All that you are and all that you have, I'm telling you, that's never a waste. In fact, that's the one way that you can ensure that you will never waste your life is when you give it to God. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15 tells us, we are God's fellow workers. You're God's field, you're God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which was laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear for the day. He's talking about the day of judgment. He says, the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to be judged for our sins, not to be punished, but to be judged for reward. And what's going to be a waste? Some have said it's the wood, hay, and stubble, those are the things that are burned in the fire. The gold, silver, and precious stone, that's that part of our life that we gave to God. That's that part of our life where we really lived all out for God. Like Mary, we just laid it all at His feet and said, Lord, here's my life. Do what you want with it. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of believers that on that day, they'll be saved. They'll come through the fire. They're going to be saved. But they won't have much reward because they wasted it. we can't do anything about yesterday. But from this day forward, I don't know about you, but I want to be able to say about myself, about my own life, nothing wasted, nothing wasted, nothing wasted. How much time, effort, energy, money do we waste on fruitless activities? How much time has been wasted on TV and the internet? How much money has been wasted on alcohol? My granddaddy told me many, many, many years ago, when he was a young man, he used to smoke cigars and chew tobacco. And this is back before they said it was bad for you. You know, 50, 60 years ago, they acted like it was good for you. But he got to figuring up one day that if he quit it, that in 2 months, he could buy a sofa. And he quit that day. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's that easy or that everybody is that successful with it, but for him, it was cut and dried. If it meant in 2 months that he could have a new sofa sitting in his den for his family, then that's what he was going to do. He wasn't going to waste another penny. But I'm just telling you how often and how much we just waste and don't even ever think about it. But when we come to the end of this life, listen to me. It's not that, well, we used it for this and we used it for that. You can talk about whether it's wrong or bad or not. Listen, when we come to the end of this life, what's going to matter is what could have been done with that time. What could have been done with that effort and that energy. What could have been done even with our finances. I'm telling you, that's what's going to bother us. What it could have been used for. The disciples, see, they seem to be interested in how it could have been used. But I'm just telling you that when we give it to God, then it's never wasted. John 10 and 10, Jesus said that he came that we might have life and that we might have it to the full, that we might have it more abundantly. And I just want to tell you this tonight, that Jesus never, ever, ever will rip you off. Jesus will never, ever fail to bless you back many times over. Peter said, Lord, we've left all to follow you. Jesus said, no one who's left houses, family, lands, for my sake and the gospel's sake, will not receive 100 times as much in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. I'm just telling you that, church, this is a deal. That whatever we give to him, whatever we lay down at his feet, oh, that's how you ensure that it's never wasted, but that it always counts for something. One woman asked her pastor, she said, what does consecration mean? And he gave her a blank sheet of paper. He said, you sign your name on this blank sheet of paper, and then you let God fill it in. I believe that. When we make a commitment to God, it's never we don't make a deal. Y'all remember at the beginning of the message, I told you how I like to get a good deal? We're not making a deal with God. We just sign our name on the on the dotted line and we say, God, whatever you want me to do, whatever you have for me, I will serve you. I will live for you. Now, here's the other side of that. It is a deal. I'm telling you, it is the best deal in all eternity. When you give your life to God, oh, that's the very best kind of life. That's abundant life. That's when you find life. But we got to be willing to give ourselves to Him. I know this is a little bit of a different kind of message for Wednesday night, but I also know that in this group of people, there are some of you that are really capable of that, just really turning your heart over to God. I mean, you're in church on a Wednesday night. You could be home watching TV with your feet up, having a snack, but instead you're here. I'm telling you, there's hope for you. Church, we need to get this. What God wants from us is that we're willing to just lay our life before Him and say, whatever you have for me, Lord. And you'll never be sorry. Now, the enemy may come along and he may say, oh, you're just wasting your time. You're just wasting. Oh, listen. You need to remember what the Word said. He'll make it up to you. I'm telling you, many, many, many times over. Romans 12, 1. I want to close with this verse of Scripture. He says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Jesus tells us that this story about Mary will be told over and over and over because she has done what she could do. That's what he said. She has done what she could do. You see, she gave her best. She gave her all. And I believe that is an example for us, not about a year's wages, but about our life, that we're willing to just pour it out, give our all to Him. When we do that, others may say, oh, that's a waste. That's a waste. But in eternity, it was nothing wasted. Nothing was wasted. That we have given Him our best and our all. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I want to challenge you tonight to give Him your best, to give Him your all. Just to make up your mind, you're just going to turn it over to Him. Father, I thank You for Your word to us tonight. I thank You, Lord, that You gave us Your best and Your all, that You laid down Your life for us. And Lord Jesus, we just acknowledge tonight, Lord, we owe a debt that we could never pay. Lord, that every one of us, Lord, if we live every moment of our lives and gave everything we have, it would never be enough. But Lord, we want to serve You. We want to live for You and bring glory and honor to You. And Father, I just pray tonight that You would just put that deep down in our heart, Lord. Oh, Father, a passion and a burden. Lord, a commitment, a desire. Lord, a fire to serve You, to live for You every day. Father, that every day we would seek to bring glory and honor to You and not to just live for ourselves, but Father, to spend it all on You. In Jesus' name, I thank You for it. I thank You for it, Lord. I thank You for it, Lord. As you're standing here before the Lord, listen, there's not any music playing. There's not anything to stir emotion. I just want to ask you before God, are you holding back on God? Or are you giving Him your all? Have you laid it all at His feet? Or have you drawn a line and said, you know, Lord, now let me just tell You, I'm willing to do this. I want to challenge you tonight to make a real commitment to God. Put your name on the dotted line and give Him that blank sheet of paper and say, God, whatever You want, I want to do it. It's amazing how God will speak to people when we get to that place where we're willing to do it. But if that's in your heart tonight, I just encourage you to pray and let the Lord know. Just tell him straight up, Father, I'm willing to serve you and do whatever you ask of me. Whatever you ask of me. And let me tell you a little secret. I'm going to let you go in just a minute. But the missionary on the field, the one who's really serving God in whatever way, listen, they don't regret it. No, they found life. They're living an abundant life. It's one of the amazing things about the rich and famous in our country is that so often the celebrity, the athlete that's paid millions of dollars, they're dissatisfied with life and all of the success and all of the pleasures of this life still leave them empty. And yet some of us think we got to have a little more of this and a little more of that. And the ones that work and they serve and they give of themselves and help other people, they're the ones that find real fulfillment and joy in life. So don't miss it, church. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Nothing wasted. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to dismiss you, and if you want to stay and pray for a few minutes, you're welcome to, but if you leave out of here, go with a heart committed to God to do whatever he asks of you. I love you. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.